Blog Talk Radio.
We are listening to Shooting the Breeze with Potpourri People and mass media personality Vivian Louise Sharp on Cleveland Smooth Jazz, WJZZ, at ScreenWorksEntertainment.net.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to Shooting the Breeze. I am Vivian Louise Sharp, and today with me on this special airtime is a special personality, and he is going to say his name for you because I like to do it that way. And our guest today, a special guest, an author with a mind of his own, Mr. Take it away, your name.
T.K. Cole.
Okay, and Mr. Cole, tell me a little bit about you have four books. No, I want to ask the last question first. What inspired you to write four books?
It really started with just being inspired. I was inspired by God, really. Because I never in my life had, up until about 2010, I never really thought about writing books. And I was spending time in prayer, and while in prayer, felt God tell me to write a book. And
wow.
I actually felt like I missed God on it, actually. I'm like, because I had never sat down and wrote a book before. I never thought about writing a book before. I guess that means, you know, that's the meaning of that is God, you know. That's the way
yes,
God works.
Yes.
Sometimes he takes you out of your comfort zone and puts you into something that you're not used to doing. And that's pretty much way it started. You know, and I just kept writing, I would finish one book and write another one, and that's the way it's done. My fourth book is not my last book, so I've got more books. So
yes.
You know, it's the story just keeps going. You know, it's a continuing story. And I think it's an exciting adventure that I think the reader will be taken out of their armchair or wherever they read and be taken into another reality and just escape their life and enter a new realm. And that's my hope for every reader out there.
Right, right. And I see that you have a special word in here, quest. And I usually don't see those words very often, except in the movies about fighting and little different things like a quest, like climbing a mountain or things like that. What made you use that word? What did you call it, a quest? Do you know why you called it a quest?
Because, it really started because I, when I first put the my, when I put my first book out originally, it was actually titled The Staff and the Sword, and after I put the book out, I found that it interfered with another writer and everything. So I thought, well, you know what, I need to change this.
Yeah.
And I came up with quest because it's what it is. It's a quest, and it starts in book one, where he is my main character, whose name is John, he's questing. You know, he's actually searching. He's searching for his purpose in life, and he's searching for a direction, and he quickly has that changed. I mean, that's the best way to put it. And this became an adventure. It involves archaeologists searching, and it's good and evil. And you know, John is probably he's the guy that I really developed, and then allowed him to really guide me through this story. And the fun of fiction is you can push the boundaries of reality with fiction as opposed to writing factual. And that's what I've done. In some ways people may feel that I pushed it too far, but I don't think so. I think it stayed, for the most part, it stays somewhat grounded to reality. So you're not, you know, it's not way out there type thing. So
that was a very good answer. And you've got some very, you could write a book about that answer with that answer almost, because it's so good. You could do what would you call that, a saga or something. Well, that's interesting. I find these questions, I hadn't prepared them, but I have curiosity, and I don't like to prepare questions. I like to let them come up as we talk. And this is another thing I'd like to ask you about. You were your father of two children, right? Two sons,
no,
two sons?
Yes, I have two sons.
Okay.
One,
are they writing?
They're both adults.
Mm-hmm.
Do they write? No, they do not. And,
okay, well, that's all right. Well, I wanted to say something about what you said, you let God lead you, and that's the best way, and you said something about purpose and direction, and that's very good, too. So I'm interested in your reading one of your novels, or maybe starting with all of them and going through, and maybe I'll write someday. Do you do mentorship as well? Do you do your, not mentors, but memoirs? So you plan to do anything like that? Are you old enough?
I'm old enough, but I don't know. No, I haven't really thought about writing anything like that about my life. I live a very normal, mundane life for the most part. And what these books do is it allows me as a writer, both as a writer and a reader, to be able to just escape my reality and live in another reality, basically, I don't really say that I take the story where it's going to go. I say the characters themselves in the book, I develop these characters, but at the same time, they take me where they want to go, and if that makes any sense, because
yes, it does.
They're almost, to me, they're almost aligned in their actions, their reactions, their everything that they do. And so I just try to let the story, let the characters themselves take the story where it's going to go. And I think it's fun. It's really fun to do that. It really is.
What do you write with? I mean, like, do you have a notebook, or how do you assemble yourself to write? What do you write with, a notebook, or do you type it, or?
I don't know. I usually sit down at my computer. I type it on Word. And I just type it out. And, you know, I'll stop for a little while and just sit back and think about the situation that I'm in this particular instance in the story, and you know, just kind of live it out in my mind, and then I put what I see, what I hear, what I smell, I put all of that into what I write. And I'll tell you, many times I've written things and gone back and written it and read what I wrote, and it's just it blows me away. Sometimes I'm like,
yes,
wow,
you wrote it, but you weren't in it. Yes.
Yeah.
And something helped you to write it. Your inner self, you know what I'm saying? Your subconscious,
yes,
which is always listening. The conscious mind, what do they say? I got to get it right. About the conscious and the subconscious. The conscious mind is on the outside, and the subconscious on the inside, right?
Yes.
And looking over everything that you do on the outside and making it easy for you and making you safe. So that's what's happening, I believe, with your characters. They're helping you, and the universe is helping you, and you are helping you, and you are the entity that's working all this for us to read, for us to read. And I'm glad that you say you give credit to the universe, because that's very important, too, as well. Okay. Anything else? Now, I see where he says your life is centered around God. And
yes, ma'am.
That is something that you have in there in your biography. And I would like to talk to you also about that, but later. I don't want to just get you preaching here right at the very beginning. But the quest of the staff and the sword in the dark kingdom. Tell me a little bit about that. Let's talk a little bit about your book. Just a little bit about it, not much, because we're going to cover all of them. The Dark Kingdom. What was that scenario about?
The Dark Kingdom focuses in on the bad guy. So it kind of focuses in on him. And it really, you have to understand that all the books run, they're continuous. So you start with book one, you read book two, read book three.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So in the second book is called Coin Out of Rastas, and that really deals with the good side, more or less. And I came to the third book, and I thought, well, I need to give equal time to the dark side. And so I spent a lot of time with the dark side in that book and the Dark Kingdom. On the cover, you will notice on the cover of the Dark Kingdom, that is an actual statue. That statue is in Turin, Italy. And there is actually a myth about this particular statue, that it is the gates of hell. And that's kind of why I chose this statue. And actually, at the top of the statue on this book, you'll notice that there is a space, but the space, in reality, the real statue, there is an angel that is at the top. And in my book, that statue actually comes to life and becomes part of the story. And but this statue itself is it's in the courtyard of the Dark Castle. Okay. And basically what he does is he tears down all the buildings in Turin to actually build his castle the way he wanted it, but he built it around this particular statue. And so that's where that comes in. But it really focuses in on the Dark Kingdom, as opposed to Coin Out of Rastas, which is the Light Kingdom, I guess you would call it. And I wanted to give them both equal time. It doesn't get away from the story, but it does give you a little bit of a, it's not really background, but it just allows the Dark Lord, which is what he's called, It gives him the space to ensure or develop his position of power. And so that's really where he does it in book two, but he also does it even more in book three.
Go ahead. Now let me ask you, I think I heard you say that this was a real statue, actually in real life, and how did you discover that statue to use as part of your Dark Kingdom? Did you just run up on it? What led you to it?
I actually went on the internet, and I thought, well, let me look up. I wanted to look up the gates of hell and figure out where that was, and I came across this statue. It's a myth about this particular statue in Turin.
Right.
Torino or Turin. In my books, I call it Turin, T-U-R-I-N, Italy. And so I used it, and I used that myth. I took the mythology of that particular statue and basically made it a reality in my books. And so, that's kind of what I did. I'll go in and I'll search certain things, and I may find some obscure story about something, and then I'll take that and just expand on it. And that's kind of what I did with this particular statue, is just taking the myth that was there and expanding on it.
Right. Do you do lots of research? Everybody does research for the stories, I'm sure of that. But does it take you a long time to get the gist of it, to get your point that you want to prove?
I think at the beginning it did, because I was looking for a direction of the story, where the story was going to go. I was trying to find that direction. So I did look at a lot of different, just doing a lot of research and just trying to get it into my mind, some of these things, to where I could then allow my imagination to just take over. And so that's kind of where I've gone. I go with it because it's fiction. I don't require a lot of research. You can take excerpts of something and basically expand on an excerpt. That's really the way it is. You just try to take those little things that you find and then you just expound on it and make it larger than life, really, is basically what I do a lot with the fiction. So as they go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that when you have a story, when you first sit down to write the next story, next book, let's say the next book, they don't end in this particular quest because you're continuing on? Do you find that the conscious mind or the subconscious helps you with artifacts or things that you see on a daily basis while you're mulling over the thought of writing another book? Does it help you? Does your mind help you find direction?
My mind helps me, but a lot of times while I'm writing, let's start in quest one, there are things that I wrote in quest one, and as I was writing those things, it was like, this is where I want to start book two. I hadn't even finished book one yet, but I already had ideas based on what I had done in book one to to actually bring certain things into book two. And that's kind of the way it goes with each one of my books. As I write, there are things that I come up with that don't fit in the book that I'm actually writing. And I realize, okay, that is something for the future book, the next book. And so I then add that, you know, bring that into the next book. And that's pretty much
the
way everything goes. You know, you write the story. And in this case, a lot of times books, as I'm writing, I choose a place where I can really just stop the book. Okay, this is going to be my ending here, you know, and then realizing that the story is going to continue in my next book. So all these thoughts that I have are going to be in that next book. It's just, you know, they just won't be in the book that I'm actually writing. So
they have to wait their turn.
yeah,
they have, those thoughts have to wait their turn. Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
it's
just a lot of things play and it just expands and then the whole story begins to open up to me and I just really just keep writing it. You know, it's fun, as I said, because I can take these characters and, you know, and do with the characters because they're fiction. I can do more with them than, say, an actual factual person. And John, for instance, is a man that has a lot of he has a lot of abilities that he is unaware of, and as he shows them off, I guess it's when you find out, okay, he can do that. You know, it's just that kind of thing, and so the reader finds out that he can do these things about the same time that John finds out he can do these things. So,
Mr. Cole. I don't want to run out of time in the middle of a sentence.
No.
I'm going to ask you a question. We got about 7 minutes, but I want you to get a good ending here. And I know that you have the other book, The Quest of the Staff and the Sword. Five? Is that four? That's four. We started with that one. I didn't have it in front of me. The Codex Nexus. So we're going to have you back, I believe, if you would like to come back again, because I'd like for you to end here. And you're having so much fun, it's like you'll never work a day in your life. You've turned your passion into a payday. Yeah, you have. And I would like to have some ending words from you, so that's why I'm channeling you up to say something at the end that you can give to the people as a way to get started if they'd like to be a novice writer. And we'll end with something like that, with a good opinion, and see if you can give some young person or older person some ideas about how they should get started like you did.
Okay, well, in my case, I had other writers that were, you know, had published some books, and it's good to get with other writers. They can help correct the mistakes that a lot of novice writers have, and they can help. They can help, and I've don't neglect advice from someone that's a little more experienced or any of that. I personally don't believe I know everything there is to know about writing. Teaching people to write writing a book, one thing is one thing, but actually teaching others to write a book, I just don't know.
Okay, let's see how can they reach you? How can they find you? Amazon? I mean, where do they find you at if they need to buy your book?
Well, I am on Facebook. I do have a website. It's
okay.
authorckcole.com.
Okay.
And then I also have a email, which is authorckcole@yahoo.com.
Oh yeah. Uh huh. Okay. You don't mind people writing you there as well, if they want to. The fans
yeah,
can find your book.
Yeah, they can. They can go to my email and send an email. I don't mind people writing if they got questions or anything of that nature.
Yes. Okay.
And
do you do any?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. The last thing I wanted to ask you, because we're getting to the end, the little bell will come on and knock us off. It's 6:56. Do you have a mantra or something that you've done all your life that worked for you really well? Would you like to pass that on? Words of wisdom.
I have lived my life with faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been my mantra, I guess. Every downturn in my life, he was there. Up moment in my life, he was there. So, you know, he walks with me and he talks with me, I guess. And as the old song song says, he just guides me and I communicate with him. He communicates with me, and you know, it's looking. I guess I look for the things of God in my life. I don't, you know, there are times when something unexpected, like writing a book, something just unexpected comes out of nowhere. I know that in those moments, you know, that's God. He's directing my life. I didn't know at the beginning how it would turn out. And I still don't really, but I, you know, he guides my life. He's helped me raise my two sons. Both of my sons are adults now. They're my life. They've been my life since the very beginning. I was there at their birth, and I've been with them in my life. And I can tell you, I couldn't have been a good father. I couldn't have been the kind of things I've done in my life. I couldn't have got through things if it wasn't for God. So
I agree with you. And I don't get personal with conversations, and I don't want you to, but I'll just say, read Mark 11:24. That's my gift to you. And don't wait to be discovered.
Okay.
Discover yourself. Mark 11:24. Yeah, it's about the seed principle.
Mm-hmm.
From the Jesus. And, okay, let's say goodbye. It's been good meeting with you. And if you want to do another interview, please contact Mr. Myron. And this is going to turn out good because it's going to be listened to by a lot of people listening now and listening also on Blog Talk. So you can find it on Blog Talk as well if you want to go and see another copy of it. I don't know if Myron's going to give you a copy or not. But if he doesn't give you a copy, just go to Blog Talk. He'll let you know. You can ask him. He can tell you that. I don't want to waste your time talking about that. But thank you so very much. We've been talking to Mr. T.K. Cole, K-O-H-L, on Blog Talk, Shooting the Breeze with Vivian Louise Sharp. And Mr. Mark, for some reason I can't remember. I keep calling him Mark. It's Myron Grace at ScreenWorks Entertainment. There we are. Come on. See, you got me mesmerized, Mr. TK.